I think it's always helpful to take a deep dive, a deeper dive into the more popular verses in the Bible to make sure that we are understanding them in context, that we know how to apply them to our life. Sometimes when they become so popular and the memes become so familiar that are built around them, we lose some of that core central meaning. I think one of the more popular verses that a lot of folks know is found in Luke chapter 9. Let me read those verses in just a little bit of context here. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26 say this, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." So it's not too difficult as we read these verses to say, well, a few things definitely stick out to us. We're to take up our cross. That seems to involve denying ourselves, which surely must be denying our sinful desires, right? It involves denying ourselves. It involves not being ashamed to live a Christian life, even if we're around other folks who don't live, don't believe. And it involves repeating this process every single day. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And I think perhaps the simplest way to look at this is to say Jesus is saying every day, I need you to become less self-focused, less self-concerned. I need you to become less selfish. You don't always have to have your way. You don't even always know what's best for you, Jesus says. So it's not just deny yourself, take up your cross daily, but it's and follow me. You don't always need to have your own way. What you're trying to do every day is let Jesus have his way. You don't need to decide what's the most important thing in your life. You need to let the Bible tell you what the most important thing in your life is. Most of us, in one way or another, use other people to get what we want. We use other people to make ourselves feel better. Or at a minimum, if we're not explicitly directly using other people, we're hideously indifferent to them or how we might be indirectly impacting them because we're so determined to get and do what we want, as opposed to using our lives to invest in, to help, to encourage, to love others. Now, a lot of folks will say, as we talk about these types of conversations, these topics, they will say, but I'm not a selfish person. I respectfully disagree. We are all selfish people. It just looks differently for different ones of us. And so some folks say, no, there's a friend I have, and there's a group of us. We always go out to eat for lunch during work. And there's this one friend, and he always has to have his way. We can only go. He never wants. I've gone to restaurants here, gone to eateries there, taco trucks there, hot dog stands there that I didn't really care for, didn't really like. They're like, oh, let's go back to that place. Well, I didn't really like that. But if the other six or seven want to go, it's like, yeah, I can eat another bad hot dog. What's the difference, right? There's this one guy that never does that. See, Andy, he's selfish, not me. There are so many different ways that we can be selfish. And so many different ways that we can rationalize to ourselves that our behavior isn't selfish, almost always by comparing ourselves to that friend or family member or acquaintance who is more overtly selfish, as opposed to comparing ourselves to Christ and his standard. We're all selfish in some ways, and we all have a way to rationalize that we're not selfish. So I've known folks who, when they're around non-Christians, they tend to back off their Christianity a bit. They don't wear it out front. They don't speak about it. They don't invite people to church because this group of people is important to them. Maybe it's a professional group or it's a group of neighbors. And when I moved in the neighborhood, these were kind of the cool neighbors at the top of the clique. And I want to be part of that. And so I withdraw my faith because I want the approval of those individuals. And you know that's wrong. And I would call that selfish. You're selfishly looking for the approval of people to make you feel good now, as opposed to getting the approval of Christ on Judgment Day. I've spoken to other people who do charity work. And as you have a conversation with them, it's obvious they're not doing the charity work to really help the people that they're working for, that they're serving. They're really doing that charity work because, again, they genuinely care what other people think about them. And they want to have this reputation of being this kind of a moral, good, righteous person. And so they do this work less to help the other people than to build a reputation for themselves. That's the ultimate definition of selfishness. And so I think taking up our cross and denying ourselves, I think a huge part of what it means is determining how you are selfish in your life, determining how you use other people, how you're indifferent to other people, how you might even indirectly cause some harm to those other people. Figure out what you do that's primarily self-motivated. And some examples are obvious. We're on the road. We're a little bit late to work. Speed limit sign says 45, but everybody knows a cop's not going to give me a ticket unless I'm at least going 55, maybe even 60. I want to go. There's a couple of cars in front of me. They're going 45. I'm agitated. I'm ill. I'm riding their bumper. When I get to work, now I'm late. I'm still agitated at the drivers in front of me. I begin to take it out on the people around me. Here's the honest truth. Jesus is going to look at you and go, what right do you have to that road more than the two cars in front of you that were going the speed limit that day? What right do you have to not obey the speed limit to begin with? And what makes you think that you somehow deserve to go 55 just because you paid 30 or 40 cents in gas tax last week to maintain a couple of billion dollars worth of roads? Pure selfishness. And again, we all have it. And so I think Jesus is saying, if you want to come after me, right? Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, if you truly want to be a Christian and a disciple and live as I'm calling you to live, if you have repented and you've decided to turn back, and instead of walking where you're the boss of your life, you're going to walk where I'm the boss of your life, you're going to have to deny yourself and you're going to have to literally redo it every single day. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to cut out the self-focused and the self-focused aspects of your life. Cut out the selfishness from your life. And here's the trick. You're going to say you're not selfish. You're going to show me examples of other people who truly are selfish. And you're going to convince yourself that you're not. And I'm telling you, deny yourself. Quit rationalizing away the things that you do to make yourself feel better, to make yourself look good in front of others, to build your reputation, to get your approval, to establish your own self-worth. Stop with all of those motivating factors that are all self-focused at their core. Deny those things. Follow me and then repeat the process every day, because tomorrow when you wake up, you will have been a Christian for another 24 hours, and the Holy Spirit is going to have tried to sanctify you, to set you apart and make you more holy, even in just that 24-hour span, and yet your nature is your self-focus still. And so every day I need you to say, I'm still going to be self-focused today, and so I'm making a determination. I will take my self-focusedness, nail it to a cross, kill it stone cold dead, and follow after Jesus today. That won't be all. I'll have to get up again tomorrow and do the same thing. I think one great example is I've known some parents, and on the surface, they look like good parents. They really care for their children, and they try to be a provider and a protector and a comforter for their young children. And then you'll see a situation where someone else has the opportunity. Maybe it's a coach at a sporting event and bad weather comes out on the practice field, or maybe they're on a Girl Scout camping trip and an assistant troop leader or something during a thunderstorm. Who knows? But another person has an opportunity to provide comfort and care for that child. Now, if the parent's primary concern is an unselfish focus on the welfare of their child, they will be thankful. Thank you for helping me keep my child safe, protected, and encouraged. But if that parent, and I see this unfortunately quite often, if that parent really, if their deepest motivation for their action is they've always wanted someone to depend on them, they've always needed someone that they could take care of, that's providing their sense of self-worth. It's fulfilling this lifelong hole in their heart. They do an honest, good, sacrificial job of doing what's best for their child. But when they see someone else step in and fill that role, a sense of jealousy comes up. And as often as not, they take it out on that other adult and they take it out on the child. Because again, deep down, it wasn't just their child's best interest they had at heart, but it was their own self-focused, I'm a wounded, hurt person, and I need salve. And taking care of this child is my salve. And when I take care of this child, the child is appreciative, and the child loves me back. And the community or my family tells me, you're doing an excellent job. You're a great mom or a great dad. And that's what I need. And then someone else does something for your child. And your child comes and says, Mommy, Daddy, that person was a big help. I really love my coach, my scout leader, my music teacher. And all of a sudden, this jealousy overcomes this person. I can't lose my connection with this child. I need to be this child's support pillar in life. And we all know that's not a healthy way to raise a child. If a child is totally dependent on you for everything, guess what? That child's got a rough future staring them in the face. And I don't say this to pick on parents. We all have wounds. We all have holes that are unfilled. Christ is begging us to allow Him to give us our sense of identity and our sense of purpose. Christ is allowing us to let our self-worth come from Him so that then we can flow back out and give to others. And we all struggle to do that. That's why Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross every single day. I'm not picking on parents who use their own child to fill the holes in their psychological makeup. This is what I'm saying. If a parent can be self-focused, even when it comes to their own child, when we know, because we know, there are parents who are self-focused, even when it comes to their own child, don't you think you and I can be self-focused then as we deal with the rest of the world around us? People that aren't our child, people we aren't related to, people we don't even know. So Jesus is saying, hey, parents, I need you to be motivated by wanting what's best for your child. A great deal of that is going to be your care and attention for a couple of decades on that little person. But eventually, other people need to get involved. Eventually, they will have to leave their father and mother and cleave to their wife or husband, where the two shall become one flesh. What you need to say is, I want what is best for this young child that God has entrusted in my care. God, let me every day deny myself and take up my cross and do what's best for this baby, for the baby's sake, and not for my own psychological sake, not for my own self-focused reasons. And what he's saying to everyone is, whether it's your child or not, I need you to say, I want what's best for the people in the world around me. Sometimes that's having a tough conversation with somebody that's going down the wrong track. Sometimes it's me sacrificing. Even if I've helped someone and they've never told me thank you, and then I see someone else help them and they do tell them thank you, I still want to be happy inside that that person got the help that they needed. Take up your cross and deny yourself, I believe, means every day figure out how it is that you're self-focused in life, because your self-focus may be radically different than someone else's. Your level of selfishness may be at a different level and caused by a different reason than someone else's level of selfishness. Figure out every day what makes me self-focused. What are my personal selfish behaviors? Acknowledge them and work every single day to turn that switch off, take up my cross, and follow the example that Christ set. Now, I certainly don't mean to say that other things aren't important. The Bible talks against pride. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Jesus talks about the very first words out of his mouth in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who aren't spiritually proud, but who are spiritually humble. Pride is a major issue against which humans have to work. It's part of our nature as well. I'm not saying that pride's not important and that Jesus isn't asking us to be spiritually humble when we come to him. He is. I still think in this instance, what Jesus is speaking about primarily is just putting to death our selfishness and then admitting that tomorrow it's still going to be there to some degree and putting it to death again. And again, it may take a different flavor for you. Maybe you use people directly for your own satisfaction. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're just basically ignore people. You're indifferent to them because you just want to, you're an introvert. You just want to be by yourself and do your own thing. And I'm not hurting them and they're not hurting me. And I'm not asking anything from them and they shouldn't ask anything from me. The Bible would just call that a bitter level of selfishness, a horribly sinful level of selfishness. We can't use people to get what we want. We can't ignore people because that's what we want either. And the biggest part of what Jesus said here may be the daily part. Maybe denying yourself means something different. If you've been an addict, then obviously it means denying yourself that. If you tend to spend too much money buying things, trying to impress other people with the material possessions you have, maybe denying yourself means stop buying those sort of things, stop spending that much money. Maybe denying yourself means something else to different people. But the daily part is the same for all of us. We will remain sinful. We will have a sinful sort of a nature, a bent towards sin, some theologians say, as long as we're alive. And so perhaps the most important part, and we'll close the podcast on this, is the daily part. Every day you have to say, if I trip up as a Christian today, this is probably going to be where it's at. And I need to say, I'm going to deny myself that daily. And I'm going to work on the motivating factors for that. Why do I get angry in these situations? Why do I treat people in a way that even the next day I'm like, I feel kind of bad about why I did that? Why did I get upset when the coach comforted my child instead of me comforting my child? Daily means being honest with ourselves about our sin. And I think taking up our cross, denying ourselves daily means figuring out why we are doing the things that we do that are so self-focused to begin with, being honest with ourselves instead of rationalizing away or comparing ourselves to others. Our comparison is to Christ. And until we have been completely sanctified and set apart for the work of God in a perfectly holy fashion as is Christ, then tomorrow you need to get up. We need to deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross and we need to follow Jesus. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, this is Andy.